My name is Nick Zulo. I am 16 years old. Today is Saturday, January 6, 2018, and I'm speaking with Grandma Pat Zulo, who is my grandma, and we are recording this interview in Clayton, North Carolina. All right, so first question I have for you is, how do you think that the typical childhood has changed from your generation to mine?
Well, I think we were able to not be as, I don't want to use the word afraid, but it seemed like a safer world then, I guess is what I'm trying to say. And I know we didn't even lock our doors in our homes when I was a child. Mm-hmm. And the kids we'd play out, you know, from one end of the street to the other. We'd run in and eat dinner and go back out and play until bedtime. And it was dark, and we would felt completely safe. And you certainly you kids would not do that today and feel safe. I don't believe you would anyway.
Yeah.
To a degree. I guess my big observation is we didn't have the cell phones and we didn't have all the technology, and so we made our own games, and they were generally, it's outside, stay outside, play basketball outside, kickball, baseball, football, whatever.
Do you think that with everything being so connected and there being, you know, a lot more, I guess, formal expectations for children, do you see the pressure building up in children?
Absolutely, and I was going to say that. I think you kids are under much more pressure than we were. And you start so much younger having to be aware of making the good grades so you can compete and get in the schools you want to. And we didn't even think about that until we were in high school, truly.
And I can remember thinking about that.
When you were...
Just when I was in third grade, you know, that kind of thing.
Never crossed my mind.
Do you think that's benefited the country, the kids, the lifestyle?
I think you are much more informed than we were and knowledgeable of the world than we were. And that's good, but it also can be a burden to you and, you know, the pressure, again, because it's so competitive out there. Uh-huh. And you can't just be a kid and goof off and have fun, and you have to be thinking about, you know, that, the grades and the being competitive. And so I think you're under much more pressure than we were.
Gotcha. Yeah. All right. Well, next question I have for you is, how do you think the development of technology has changed life in America? And I know you kind of touched on it in the last one.
It boggles my mind when I think of it, because if we needed to know anything about anything we wanted to research, we had to go to the library, go through the card file, find the books, or look it up in encyclopedias. That's the only way we had to research anything, and you have it at your fingertips every minute to whatever you want to know.
Yeah, and do you see this as always being a positive thing, or drawbacks?
Not always. I think it is positive. I think, you know, it's just so helpful to you. But again, you're overloaded with stuff.
There's
all
a lot
the time.
To take it's, in.
Yeah.
You know, if you
and the social media thing has certainly changed everything.
That's a good point.
Your relationships. As I've said, when you're sitting at your phone typing a text message or posting something on Facebook or whatever, it's a lot easier to not be kind than it is
behind
when you're face to face
with
someone. So that, to me, is a big negative.
I even see that in politics. Of course, there's a lot
Absolutely.
Of political debate online, on TV, and you see that. And my dad and I were actually talking about this on the car ride here, where everything is so polarized. That's what my dad used, where people don't seem to compromise anymore. It's either someone's right, somebody's wrong.
The questions that are about politics. That's exactly what I was thinking. We'll wait for that. But yes, I think that's very true. It's, you know, it's a lot tougher to be face to face with someone and have an exchange than it is to sit at your computer and type it out. And yeah,
hide behind a screen, you can, in a way.
Exactly. And that bothers me a lot.
Yeah, I agree.
So.
Yeah. All right, well, we'll move on to
next
question. So how do you think that the presence of politics in people's lives has changed from generation to generation? In what ways is this positive? What ways is it negative?
Well, I think, again, the social media thing and whatever. And it seems, at least, that politicians used to be, what's the word? They seemed to be statesmen, and they were there to serve and whatever. And now it's become a pretty cushy job.
Oh, I see, Jean.
You know, that, and I think a lot of them, their goal is to keep their constituents happy so they can keep that cushy job.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. It seems that a lot of people manipulate their political views when they're running for office based on what's going to get votes, not on their own principle.
It's all about the next race and keeping their job. And not, I think what you see today, too, is the lack of compromise from either side.
I agree.
I think it definitely seems like that's worse today to me.
I agree. It seems like when it's not, once you're elected, then it's immediately re-election, and
that's it.
And it makes me wonder: is this a power dynamic, or is it a job to serve, like you said, to serve the people?
That's what it should be. They were elected to serve the people.
I noticed that even reading a textbook for this class, AP U.S. history, where you have in the very beginning of America, you've got George Washington on a horse leading the army, and now, you know, it just has changed so much.
I know. It's
between leading now, and it seems it's just a different leadership style.
Oh, it is. Yeah. It is. And I just, as I said, they're not. I've always expected people in the ministry or people in politics, you kind of look up to them, that you think they should almost be a little bit better than the majority of us.
And
I don't think that's necessarily the case anymore.
Yeah, there are lots of examples where you could prove that one wrong. Yeah. All right, next one I got for you is, in what ways did your family operate as you were growing up? How are these customs different or similar to how I'm raised today?
Well, my parents were... They were not very strict on us, probably not strict enough, but just the love that you knew was always there. And I'm not sure I'm answering your question. They were someone you could look up to by their example. I can't say that I've been as good a parent as my parents were in some ways. I never heard my parents say a cuss word, ever. Now, they may have said them, but it wasn't in front of us. We never heard that. And
Well, you go ahead. Sorry.
That's okay. Go ahead.
What you were saying there. But then it's a different, you know, like you said, things change, and it's a different style, and you know, parents have to adapt to
Again, because you're under so many more pressures today than we were then. It was a more easygoing world then.
Because you think of how the kids, we talk about all the time how the kids have to adapt, how the kids have to change and be so serious, but then also the parents have to face that kid every day.
That's exactly right. It's a tougher world today, I think. And I know growing up in the community I did, people were so connected you knew your neighbors well.
Mm-hmm.
And today, if I bumped into my neighbor two doors down on the street, I would not know that was them. I mean, mm-hmm. I think that's sad in a way. But we knew everybody on the street yeah. knew each other, uh-huh. and we played together, and the parents would get together, and it was just, you had a lot of support as a parent,
mm-hmm.
because if you did wrong, if your parents didn't know it, the neighbors would
yep.
tell them.
Yeah, that's happened.
I've had that happen as a child.
When the parents go away and you see all the cars line up and someone's having a party with the parents
my parents yep. would have known it, I guarantee.
Yeah.
So it was an easier time, no question.
Yep.
But they didn't have a lot of money. I'm sure they had the pressure of trying to make ends meet, that maybe a lot of, like your family, they're more affluent. That helps in some mm-hmm. ways, but it creates pressure to maintain that too.
Yeah, definitely, definitely.
So,
and like you said, parents meeting up and kids playing. And I kind of like, looking back at when I was growing up, I mean, that I think it was similar with the kids playing. I mean, I can't remember a day in the summer when I was, 8 or 9 or 10 or 11 where
so
I wouldn't go out.
So you did that as well.
All the time.
We that's great.
Playing wiffle ball and base in the hot, the heat. And
good.
And I love, that's one of my favorite memories. It's one of my favorite things.
It is.
I notice that parents don't seem to do that as much anymore because,
I don't know,
it's easy for adults to, on a Saturday night while maybe they used to go out with their friends or meet up with their friends, it's too easy to just stay in and watch a movie or,
mm-hmm,
so
mm-hmm.
I noticed that while maybe, I mean, with video games and everything,
right.
I noticed that kids are starting to go inside more
exactly.
and same with parents. So
I'm
hoping that doesn't change too much.
I definitely agree with that. And I think parents really have to make the effort today to see to it that their child, I know with Olivia, that they get them outside,
yes,
get them, connected to nature and the world out there.
Yeah, I agree.
The beautiful world out there, and it's a responsibility.
Yeah, and I think people look at that all the time as from exercise and get your 60 minutes, but in a way, I don't think it should be so forced. It's more just being outside. And
just
it's
just
with
play.
Your friends. It's
just
more
play.
Natural. It feels better.
Right. Just
I agree.
Play.
I agree.
You need it.
Agreed. Next one I got for you. Can you tell me about the people who've had the biggest impact on you and the way that you carry yourself today?
Oh, it would definitely be my parents. They were wonderful examples. My parents and certain teachers along the way.
Mm-hmm.
And I think my parents' strong faith and, just committed Christian people, that was a huge influence on me. I mean, when you're a kid, you hated it sometimes that you had to be at church every
yeah.
time the doors open.
Uh-huh.
But in hindsight, it's such a good foundation, and I'd have to put them at the top of the list.
Yeah.
I was blessed to have really wonderful parents like
yeah.
that.
And like you said, with the religion, I think it's nice that you see it as, a lot of people see it now as, either really strict or someone's
mm-hmm.
right, someone's wrong,
mm-hmm.
With the religion, similar to politics. I guess religion and politics go hand in hand in that way. But I think it's nice and refreshing that you see it as, I'm sure you saw it as a connector,
it was,
like somewhere
I tell
community.
You, I never, I just feel like, what am I trying? I'm not good at expressing myself. It was teaching me things that I needed to learn about that would help me live life on this earth and live it well,
mm-hmm.
and successful and happy and hopeful and optimistic.
Uh-huh.
And that's what that taught me, just studying the Bible and how it's a guide.
Yeah.
It's like a roadmap to help you
yeah.
through the, 'cause life can be difficult sometimes.
Definitely. Yeah.
You got to have something to hang on to.
Yeah.
And so, anyway.
All right, we got two more, and
okay.
This one is, if you had a phrase or a piece of advice you like to live by, what would it be?
It's the golden rule to me, bar none. Do unto do unto others as you would like for them to do unto you, solve a lot of the world's problems, wouldn't it?
I agree. That's actually one of the first things I can remember you saying that.
I really believe that.
Yeah, I think that describes you well.
Mm-hmm. And the other thing, it's a verse in the Bible. I should know what it is. So I've got it written down. But to me, this is just, if I remember it, it says, "Be quick to listen and slow to speak."
Uh-huh.
And that's another thing that has helped me many times. Is just don't open my mouth and say what I think until I really listen.
Uh-huh.
And maybe I don't need to say something, or I do, or whatever, but quick to listen to what other people say.
And it's kind of funny how I feel like all these questions have kind of come full circle in a way, because see, that goes back to how what we were talking about, politics, how
it everyone does. Just same, slams in their the same, opinion. Yeah. It's the same thing. If they did unto others as they want people to do unto them.
And in this past little bit, from your generation to, mine, do you think that phrase that you're talking about or maybe just mm-hmm. not being as open to others' opinions and maybe not treating others as with as much respect, do you think that's escalated, or has it always been like that and we just don't know about it?
What are you saying? Has it always been that?
It always been so, like, I would almost use cutthroat,
Well, I guess I'm right, you're wrong. Men from the get-go are, we're kind of self-centered, we're kind of selfish. I mean, that's our natural nature. And that's why I'm saying, the whole Bible thing is that it's teaching us, it's not all about me.
Uh-huh.
It's not. And so, anyway.
Yeah. No, I agree with that.
Putting other people's feelings sometimes before yours might be a good way to go.
I agree with that.
Mm-hmm.
All right, last one. And it was building on the last question. In what ways would you like to be remembered? How would you describe your most positive characteristics and... how do you...
That's a hard brag good. About yourself.
No, I think if anyone can.
I think I'm optimist. I'm optimistic. Mm-hmm. And
I could think
I guess my biggest thing, and I really mean this, I cannot hold a grudge against somebody, even if I really think I'm justified and I should and I want to, I absolutely cannot do it. It eats me up. I can get really angry and I can let it fly and whatever, but then it's like it's over.
Uh-huh.
And I can't stay mad at somebody. I just can't do it. And I'm glad I can't, because I think it hurts.
Uh-huh.
It's more hurtful to you when you're hanging on to something negative.
Yeah, and makes you a lot more cynical.
Yeah, and so I think you're certainly entitled to get angry and upset and whatever, and I do. But then I'm always saying to Gramps, let it go. once it's done, it's done. It's over. And if I try, sometimes I can be so upset over something. And then maybe a couple of months down the road, I'm talking with someone, and I try to remember it, and I can't even remember what I was upset about.
Yeah.
And
it's kind of funny. I ask, how you want to be remembered. And I can always. That's the first thing when I think of you, and I think of Grandma in Florida. I think of someone that. I don't know if I can remember you being mad in a negative. Well, you've always been so positive, and I think that I've been so lucky to be around my have my grandparents around, and you know, like a second set of parents, you know, another set of parents, and an influence.
Well, good. We feel lucky to be your
Yes, and I think that's seeing how positive you are. It makes me think, wow, that's how I want to. Well, that's how some, you know, when I'm
again, working or retired, that's how my parents live. Were that way. My mother was real witty, and she could always find humor in things, and I feel like I've got a little bit of that in me. Not like she, I can never be what she was, but she was that way. Just her hairdresser told me, this is when mother was probably 90 by then, and she said, when your mother comes in to get her hair done, the whole place lights up. And I thought, that's the nicest thing anybody could ever say
about you. I would say that same thing about
you. Oh, you're kind. I appreciate that.
There's always, whenever you come around, I feel that it's always a very positive,
well, you're
happy
sweet,
environment.
And I appreciate it. But yeah, if I would like to be remembered that way.
I think you succeeded.
Oh, well, good. Thank you, Nick. You're sweet.
Thank you for doing this.
You're welcome. I appreciate it. You're welcome. We're done, huh?
We are.